Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Welcome back. Good to have you. Mitch on vacation. Pauly and the Moose. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Breaking news, Deshaun Watson will start Saturday for the Browns and play the first half if everything goes to plan against the Bears. So some money coming in on the Browns. When you talk college basketball or college football, there's only one choice. The great Pat Forty. It's been too long. He joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line at By Pat Forty on X Sports Illustrated as well. And check out as the lists are starting to come out. He's got top 25 most intriguing, and he was at all the media days, and he joins us to talk a little college football. Appreciate the time, my friend. You were there. Did you think the SEC did some damage with the whining and complaining?
Yes, sir, Pauly. Definitely. I mean, you're not in the same position you used to be if you're the SEC. You can't come in with this high and mighty entitled sort of mentality of we need this, we deserve that, when you're not doing it on the field. And I feel like they just have ignored the results the last couple of years, particularly last year, and just kind of still are living in this era of we're number one when they're not. Clearly the Big Ten is number one. And when you can't even get a team in the final, when you've not made it further than the semifinals three straight years, you've watched three different Big Ten teams win. When Alabama loses a playoff game by 35 to a team from the Big Ten, you're out of bragging rights. Go earn some and then come back and talk to us.
I want to ask you about LSU staying in the SEC. What does it look like year one for Lane Kiffin down in the Bayou?
A lot of talent. You know, they've pulled it together. That there was already residual talent there. And then, you know, they did a lot of work in the portal. So I expect it to be a better LSU product than we saw under Brian Kelly. It better, given all the upheaval that went into bringing in Lane Kiffin and all the money that went into it with staff and with players. They need Sam Leavitt to come through. Last year, he was pretty disappointing at Arizona State, but he also was injured. They need him to come through. They need Lane to be more than just a sideshow and really actually like out scheme some people, which he did do, I thought, last year at Ole Miss. I thought it was his best coaching job. But a lot of pressure, a lot of expectations. We'll see if they deliver against a pretty challenging schedule.
He is number two on your most intriguing list for coaches. And I think you've been on this for 15 years, just baffled that this guy keeps getting great jobs and he's had one good year.
Yeah, no, it's incredible. I mean, nobody has failed up like Lane Kiffin, that's for sure. And I'm not even sure it's failing up so much as just somehow moving up, you know, because he has not failed per se, except for with the Raiders, he certainly did. He was younger then and at USC.
Yes,
but
yeah,
he did do good work at Ole Miss. But geez Louise, I mean, think of the jobs he has had, and he's won a grand total of zero championships of any kind. Maybe at Florida Atlantic, I don't know. But, you know, he's had a lot of things given to him, and it's time to produce in a spot where they absolutely expect to produce on the highest level.
How about Sark down there in Texas, Pat, with Arch at quarterback, and how much pressure, how intriguing is that storyline when you're looking at it from a coaching perspective?
Yeah, hugely. From the coaching perspective, from the quarterback perspective, Texas, I don't know about how much, who spent the most or anything like that. I think Texas won the portal more than any other school. I mean, we'll see when they put it on the field, but in terms of on paper and addressing absolute needs, you know, they got studs at receiver. They got studs at running back. They got an underrated stud at linebacker, Rasheem Biles from Pitt. And so they built all this around Arch. You know, last year, I think we were saying, can Arch elevate Texas to a title? Now I think we're saying, can the rest of Texas elevate Arch to a title? Because we've seen him and he's good and presumably getting better, but he's not your instant superstar savior that he was billed to be by a lot of people. So
yeah,
I think they did the smart thing in terms of bringing in what they did. And yes, now, I mean, for Sark, this is on paper, this looks like your best team you've ever had, maybe even by a wide margin. time to go do something.
Totally agree. Should be on the hot seat. A guy not on the hot seat. If you want to tell me it's the best coaching job in the history of sports, I'm not going to argue with what Cignetti has done at Indiana. Why is he number one on your top 25 most intriguing coaches list?
Because it was the best coaching job in the history of sports.
There you go.
I thought it was that good. I just, I'm so completely blown away still by what Indiana has done and become. And if you go back, even just the first year to go 11-2 was incredible, but then followed up 16-0. And there were a couple close calls, but it was a pretty dominant 16-0 and just stomping two opponents in the playoff, never trailing in three playoff games at Indiana. Fernando Mendoza, I thought, was a really good portal pickup. I didn't know he was going to be the number one pick, the Heisman Trophy winner, and lead a team to an undefeated season. He's all of those things. They did an incredible job with him. All the James Madison guys who became stars, the leftover Indiana guys who became stars. You know, I think one of the biggest fallacies from anybody was, well, Mark Cuban just outspent everybody for that team. Oh, no. I mean, that roster was not as heavily financed as many others. It was just superbly constructed and coached.
Pat, why, just one more on Cignetti. Why did it take so long for him to get this kind of opportunity?
You know, it's a great question. I don't think it's been fully really addressed and explained. Some people absolutely, obviously, were scared to go get a guy from a lower level of college, which he was until, you know, until James Madison moved up to FBS. But his personality, he's a little bit different. He's a little quirky. I think some people felt like that's not a guy we can set up there and win a press conference, which, again, is, you know, the dumbest reason to hire a coach, to win a press conference. I just think that people, ADs, made bad decisions or were scared to make a decision on a guy from who hadn't had a big name out there before. But I mean, just for Indiana, like, to do this again at Indiana, it's the greatest hire ever, and it's the greatest coaching job I've ever seen.
How would you rank the top three teams in the Big Ten?
I personally, I'm sticking with Indiana first. And then I would say Oregon second, Ohio State third. But honestly, I mean, I think they're all three great. I think they are three of the top five for sure. And if you put them in a complete different order of that, I would say, okay, that's fine too. You know, I think all three of them have great strengths. All three of them have a couple of weaknesses. And I'm really glad we get to see them play each other. It's going to be, I mean, the Big Ten season is going to be bonkers.
Yes.
What about Lincoln? What about, we were talking about coaches, Pat. I want to ask you about Lincoln Riley out there at USC. You know, went out to LA, big expectations, leaving Oklahoma. What about the Trojans this year?
Yeah, I was struck by how confident he was at Big Ten Media Days. Relaxed, upbeat, and really talking like strongly, like, this is our best team. We have everything we need. And that, you know, puts him in a certain position, because there's talk about guys who haven't really delivered on a massive contract. And he basically said, we have to do it this year. And I do think they've got a really good team for it. I like the team they put together. You know, a lot of freshman recruits coming in, so those guys will see how much they're going to contribute right away. But with a no redshirt rule, you put them on the field sooner and see. But then they did well in the portal, and they did well in player retention. I think their staff is better, and we'll see if Lincoln Riley can scheme it up and produce something that people have expected from him.
Pat Forte, our guest on the Progressive Guest Line with Sports Illustrated, at By Pat Forte on X. Read all his columns and articles up there. Tweeted out top 25 most intriguing coaches. Also, Sports Illustrated did their top 25 poll as well. How about a couple bold predictions? One, can Mensa take the Cam Ward leap and go top five in the draft and lead a awesome Miami team and score a ton of points?
Yes, our top 25 is out today, SI.com, and we do have bold predictions for every team in there. That is the one for Miami, and I think so. I mean, I'm really impressed by his talent. I think the NFL arm, NFL release, all those sorts of things. Got it. His one thing, sometimes he'll let one mistake become two mistakes, become three mistakes, and things will maybe a little bit snowball on him. But, you know, that might have just been youth. Now this is year three, also team three. And we'll see, though, if he's got great talent around him. I mean, what quarterback doesn't want to play with Mark Fletcher at running back and Malachi Toney at receiver? Shannon Dawson, great offensive coordinator there. So I do think this was a huge pickup. Controversial the way it went down with Duke and late in the portal, but I have big expectations from Mensa.
Good to catch up with you. Up against a moose with the clock. Good to catch up with you, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks for the time, Pat.
All right, my pleasure, guys. Thank you.
All right, excellent. And read him, Sports Illustrated, and check him out on X as well. Another bold prediction. Will Hammond's going to be good, and Texas Tech will be fine, and they won't miss Sorsby with all that news. Well, huge favorites as well in all these games. That would be good news for Texas Tech if that happens as well. So check out with their poll. All interesting, though, Pat has Indiana 1. The rest of his colleagues have Oregon as the best team in the Big Ten. We'll get to the day schedule and MLB and the in-play coming up and then attack the night games with an incredible stat about what the Yankees have done against Seattle this year. It's coming up on Follow the Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, SiriusXM Channel 158. Get the broom out again. Tampa went 9-0 on the road trip. And for the third straight game, Tampa and the over cashes as they beat the A's 8-4. What a performance. A 9-0 road trip by the Rays. And no problems of taking out the A's again today. Well, job well done.
No. Yeah, and obviously have got a commanding lead in the American League East. It is remarkable what this Rays team has been able to do, and they're just getting better and better as this season does go along here. You mentioned the winning streak on the road trip, the fact that they've made these daylight games. They had that 8-run inning against the Athletics in that series up in Sacramento. I mean, it's just they just find ways to win games, and it's a really, really good team. Great pitching offensively, and, you know, they left really for the most part, for the majority of the series, Paulie, they left no doubt. And they're going to be a team, as you search for teams in the American League, obviously nobody wants to believe in the Rays for some reason, but the Rays are going to be a team to be reckoned with when we get to October.
Bad job by the Diamondbacks. They were playing good ball. They're going to lose 2 out of 3 at home to Colorado unless they have an epic comeback. 6-3 Rockies in the bottom of the eighth. Kelly had nothing, and the Brewers trying to avoid the sweep. They lead the Padres 2-1 in the eighth. 4.5 in play total over minus 160 in that one. Okay, so the team with the number one run differential in the American League, the Detroit Tigers, get back to .500 with a win tonight for the first time since May the 4th be with you. I can't believe it. They were 18-18. They have a 1.39 team ERA in August. They are half a game behind Texas in his putrid American League for the final wild card spot. Texas is now only up a game on the Twins after they won today. They are taking on the reeling Guardians, who have lost 14 of 18. And it's Griffin, who was blasted his first time out with Cleveland against Valdez. Valdez and the Tigers, $1.20, total of 8. Why not ride them? Because you know that the bats are going to be there too, that the offense has been so good with this incredible run going back the last month or so with the Tigers.
You know, that's why you love sports. Sometimes you get the unexplainable happens, and this is what's happening. I mean, Detroit's pairing guys off left and right, trade their ace Scooble, the Los Angeles Dodgers, and here they are that they're right there in a wide open American League Central. And you mentioned it, best run differential. I think they're 4 runs to the better over the Yankees in the American League, +89. The Yankees are sitting there at +85. It's remarkable. I mean, that's why you watch it. That's why you love it. Why not ride it with the Tigers right now in the way that they're playing? Because they look like they are almost relieved that the Scooble nonsense is in their rearview mirror. That's the way they've been playing.
Yes. Do you want to fade the Pirates again? With a loss, that'll be seven straight series losses for Pittsburgh. Junk's $1.15 against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I probably would. Wouldn't you?
Yeah. Bad vibes,
I mean,
too.
With the way that bad vibes right now. When you look at the Pirates, we talked about Skeens a little bit earlier in the show. Obviously concerned there, pulled after 65 pitches. But the way that this Pittsburgh team is trending, how do you not fade them? Good down in Miami, take on the Marlins. They're a minus $1.16 favorite going into it. Even though the Pirates, you know, up until about 3-4 weeks ago, were having a really good season offensively. They were good. Was the pitching going to be there? Well, now they've hit the complete and utter skids. But yes, I would fade the Pirates tonight.
All right. And you're right. This is why we love sports. Now the Red Sox can't hit, and now they can't win.
I know.
10
I
runs
know.
In their last four games. The Blue Jays are 8-3 against them this year. Yet Boston is favored. Suarez $1.30 against Soriano. I mean, again, they would have to jump five teams. But Toronto's only 2.5 out of this too now, as well as they're playing.
Well, think about the American League. You've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 teams that are in contention for the two wild card spots in the American League, right? Even the dreadful Seattle Mariners are right there. I mean, yeah. I mean it's crazy. They're not all that far off out of it. So yeah, it shows you. I mean, they were bound to cool off. I mean, they had a month of July that I've never witnessed. I mean, they went from 14 games under to 14 games over and did it really, really quickly. I mean, it was remarkable for what the Boston Red Sox have done. So you knew they were going to cool off, but now it's they can't score, as you mentioned. And it's amazing when you look at the Toronto Blue Jays, the success that they've had against Boston this season.
Yankees keep it going? I mean, if you're fading these bad teams, you're doing well profit-wise here, because Seattle's in a horrible funk, terrible season, cannot hit, and can't get anything going this year against the Yankees and Yankee starters. The Yankees have held Seattle to 6 runs in 4 games. The starters have only allowed 2 in the 4 games. Warren's $1.30 against Miller.
Yeah, and Warren's been better than you look at in just based on his stats. If you watch him with the eyeballs, then basically his stats would lead you to believe for this year for the New York Yankees. Yeah, I mean, I would fade Seattle. You know, $1.28 favorite are the New York Yankees tonight at home. The issue you have, I mean, it took the Yankees forever to scratch across some runs last night against the Seattle Mariners and Wu.
Yeah.
That's the concern you have. Like, the Yankee fan was celebrating the fact that they actually hit with runners in scoring position last night, and they actually had 3 of them. You know, Chisholm, McMahon, and obviously Trent Grisham. What's it going to look like tonight? But I can't take Seattle with the way that they're playing right now. The only play would be the New York Yankees. And I would think that Will Warren, based on Seattle's offense and lack thereof, pitches really, really well tonight for the Bombers.
Are the Braves too high tonight, given the Mets have won the season series already? Atlanta's $1.70.
I don't know if they're necessarily too high. I think based on the pitching matchup, listen, McClain last night pitched really well for the Mets. I mean, he allowed the Albies home run. That was it. But unfortunately, you know, the Matt Olson 2-run home run that made it a 4-0 game. And that was goodnight the lights for the New York Mets. So they were coming off a really successful weekend in Pittsburgh against the Pirates. They scored 11 runs, but I'd probably tell you to, I don't know if I necessarily take the Braves tonight. To me, it's more of a stay away than anything else. I don't trust Atlanta at minus $1.75, but I wouldn't necessarily take the Mets at plus 157.
This is a big game and a big week for the White Sox. Brutal loss last night.
Yeah.
Can't lose games
terrible.
Like that. 4-1 in the eighth, you lose at home. Castillo makes his home debut. He's had a terrible season. He's $1.40 against the Reds. They do have the fourth easiest remaining schedule, but as Mike Palm said earlier, they might be in second place by the time we get to Sunday with how Detroit's playing. Got to have a game for the White Sox, and you have to have a solid performance out of Castillo, total of 8.5.
Yeah, and the issue you had mentioned is that Castillo has not been particularly good. So I would think that the White Sox, you know, even though that was, if they're able to get themselves off the mat after what was a brutal loss last night, I would imagine the White Sox find a way tonight against the Cincinnati Reds home, Castillo making his debut. I would think that would be the case. However, we see strange things in baseball. I mean, look at the Colorado-Arizona game this afternoon, which we've talked about. So maybe the White Sox, we've seen the best of Chicago, and maybe they're going to hit a little bit of the skids, but to me, it's only taking Chicago minus the $1.46 as compared to Cincinnati plus the $1.31 after their come-from-behind victory last night.
And a bad job by Texas last night. You're going against, who was it, Johnson, I think his name was, the second-worst ERA in baseball for a starting pitcher. and they only managed two runs in the game and lost 3-2. This coming into the game, the Angels fired their pitching coach, bullpen coach, and assistant pitching coach. And for one game, at least it worked. Cal Quantrill's $1.35 for Texas in this one. And last check, Houston was winning. So as they're trying to track them down. But again, they lead for the final wild card in the American League. Total of 9. Can't lose games like this in late August. Got to win if you're Texas.
Yeah, got to win. And Houston won 2-1 over the Giants. So, yes, this has got to be a game in which Texas is victorious tonight against the Angels. You mentioned it. I mean, the Angels come into this one. They're 46-74 on the season. I mean, they've been absolutely dreadful on the year. And you look at Texas, even though they're a 500 baseball team, Quantrill on the mound tonight. They didn't need much last night offensively to find a way to knock off the Angels. They just couldn't get it. I would imagine that they respond late tonight against Anaheim.
Okay, I'm going head-to-head with Mitch up at the Sharps. Get up there with the free weekly league. Let you practice the same football plays you already study. Props, sides, totals, combos. Everyone starts with 10,000 chips. Football season's here, and you need your reps before week one. Build your stack, climb the leaderboard, sharpen your reads before the season kicks off. Enter at jointhesharps.com or scan the QR code on the screen and use code VSIN50 for a 50% deposit bonus up to $100. Very easy to use. And you see the chips right up there when you get logged in and you see the account, and it's up to you on how many chips you want to bet on every single game. And you can go all in or you can spread it around. Jointhesharps.com, promo code VSIN50. Get your preseason reps in with the free weekly league and 50% deposit bonus as well. Speaking of preseason and football, 6 games tomorrow. Get up to VSIN.com for a bunch of reasons. Number one, Humans with his quarterback depth chart. And number two, the Mackinnon trends, which we briefly ran down yesterday, they're awesome. All the preseason trends and the stuff on Denver, the 39-1-1 stat, the 2-18 stat on Dallas, so good. But you got to get up there and check that out with the Mackinnon trends and the depth chart with Humans. Watson will play the first half for the Brownies Saturday against the Bears. Sanders will play the third quarter, and we'll see if it's the rest of the half. But Matt has a play on this game and a plethora of plays that he's made with the preseason and two futures he wants to hit on the NFL coming up next. And it's a lot to like with Cleveland, because you have the quarterback battle not only for number one, but also number two. So he'll state the case for the Brownies coming up next on Follow the Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Sirius XM Channel 158. Time for Matt Humans. Here come a plethora of picks. We have 6 preseason games tomorrow. Matt, we got the Bengals who are up to almost 7, got up to 7.5 rather in this game, now down to 6.5 after the retirement of Teddy Two Gloves. Going to be a ton of Luke Altmaier. What are your thoughts on the Lions and Bengals game to start the slate tomorrow?
Paulie, you remember our old buddy Chuck Edel, right? Have you talked to Chuck recently?
Right, that. Not. It's been a while, but he is the best at the preseason.
He is the best at the preseason. I was talking with Chuck yesterday, and he was speaking about overreactions in the market. Uh-huh. And I think this might be one of them a little bit, because when you look at the Lions-Bengals game, it's obvious why the line moved, because Teddy Bridgewater, who you talked about there, retired on Sunday, and that line jumped up quickly. Luke Altmaier, rookie from Illinois, is going to get the majority of the snaps for the Lions. And I don't believe Jared Goff's going to play at all. I think it's going to be Luke Altmaier most of the way. And Josh Dobbs just signed on Sunday. So that's obviously a bet against situation there. And the Bengals plan to play starters a little bit, but not much. So you got Joe Burrow, Joe Flacco, but behind those two, who aren't going to play a whole lot, if they play much at all, is going to be Josh Johnson and Sean Clifford. And so that's basically who we're going to be betting on here and laying 6.5 points with the Bengals. I think this number's gotten a little bit too high. Well, it did reach 7 at DraftKings on, I believe, on Monday night. It's dropped back to 6.5 a little bit. I'm not going to touch this game. I understand the bet against situation here for the Lions with Luke Altmyer at quarterback, and I really don't like him. But again, I think that's probably a few too many points away in a preseason game, so I have to stay away from that one.
Matt, how about the Packers and the Steelers with Jordan Love going to get a little bit burned for Green Bay early?
You know, it's interesting because we're talking about Lions and Bengals, and a lot of bettors will chase the steam when they see these lines start to move. And if you don't get the good number, a lot of times you just need to stay away. Well, this game is interesting, too, because the Steelers were favored at one point. They were 1.5-point favorites.
Yeah.
News comes out that the Packers are going to play Jordan Love and some starters, and the Packers have now flipped to 2.5-point favorites. And I kind of like the Packers' quarterback situation. I think it's one of the better ones in the NFL for the preseason behind Jordan Love. You got Tyrod Taylor, who's a veteran who can make plays. Kyle McCord, very good pocket passer. And Kyron Drones, who's a mobile quarterback. So that's really an ideal situation for the Packers. But to me, the Steelers should be a bet-on team in the preseason, too. Aside from Big Mike, who I don't like, you got Mason Rudolph, Will Howard, and Drew Aller behind Aaron Rodgers. And I like Rudolph, and especially Will Howard. And I think Will Howard's a bet-on quarterback in the preseason when he gets in for the Steelers. So unless you got the good number with the Packers, a +1.5, or you got Pick'em or -1, I wouldn't touch it at this point. There are a lot of preseason games that tend to end in ties or land on 1 or 2 points. So you got to be careful laying 2, 2.5. It's not the typical 3 is the key number in the preseason. But that's why the Packers did get that up. I think the Packers should be a bet-on team in the preseason. Paulie, I don't know if you know this, if you talk to your Raiders source, but you know, last year during the draft, Chip Kelly wanted the draft for the Raiders. He wanted them to take Will Howard somewhere around the 4th round, and they declined. And John Spytek and the Raiders, the new Raiders GM, took Cam Miller from North Dakota State, and they took a couple quarterbacks who were no longer on the roster. But Chip Kelly wanted Will Howard for the Raiders, and the GM wouldn't take him. I think Will Howard's going to be a really good backup quarterback for the Steelers.
Interesting. Okay, good information. Yeah. Speaking of great information, get up to VSiN.com, or they tweeted it out as well. Matt tweeted it. Got to get the preseason quarterback depth chart up there at VSiN.com. Got to lock in now. It was 6 games tomorrow. How about the Raiders 1.5 against Arizona tomorrow?
All right, so as our old buddy Jimmy Vaccaro, the great Jimmy Vaccaro, used to say, trends don't pay the rent, right? The trends definitely point to the Cardinals here,
right?
Because the team with a game under its belt usually has an advantage. Cardinals played in the Hall of Fame game. They should have an advantage here, and the trends point to that. I'm going to try to buck that trend here. I'm just talking with a couple of reporters who cover the Raiders, and everything I've seen in press conferences and read in stories, I think the Raiders are going to take this game semi-seriously. They had it open to the public workout at Allegiant Stadium last night. Kirk Cousins probably going to play a little bit in this game. And behind Cousins, even if he doesn't play, I don't care if he plays or not, but behind Cousins, you really have a pretty good situation here with Fernando Mendoza trying to push Cousins for the number one job. Aiden O'Connell, who's trying to push Mendoza for the number two job. Believe it or not, there's a thought within the Raiders organization that if Cousins went down with an injury, they would rather play O'Connell than Mendoza. They really want to sit Mendoza for the first month of the season or so. And then the fourth quarterback is Jacob Clark, 6'5", 220 QB out of Missouri State. But the bottom line here is I think the Raiders are a pretty good preseason team to bet with a new coach and a quarterback competition. Those two things you look for. There are 10 new coaches in the NFL this year. One of them, obviously, is the Raiders coach, Clint Kubiak. And then the quarterback competition's live here with three guys involved in it. The last 10 weeks of last season, Arizona had the worst defense in the NFL. If you watch the Hall of Fame game, that Arizona defense is still a disaster. So I think the Raiders should be the play here. I'm going to try to beat that trend. I like Raiders -1.
Matt, how about Colts and Pats? India, 2.5-point favorite. Richardson at quarterback.
Do you want to bet on Anthony Richardson, Moose? What do you think?
Not really, no.
I don't either. And I don't think the Colts, I don't know if he's going to be with the Colts much longer. Daniel Jones, who knows how long he's going to stay healthy. But I wouldn't be surprised if Riley Leonard is the Colts starting quarterback sometime in the first half of the season. And he's the number 2. I definitely don't want to bet on Anthony Richardson, number 3 in Easton Stick as the fourth quarterback. As far as the Patriots go, and I put this quarterback depth chart up at vsin.com. You can check it out if you're interested in the handicap of the preseason. Behind Drake May, Tommy DeVito.
Yep.
And former Texas Tech quarterback Baron Morton. That's not bad. It's not great. It's not bad. But I definitely don't want to bet on Anthony Richardson here.
I am with you Saturday morning. Browns at the Bears. All the injuries with Chicago already, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Watson will play the first half. Then it's Sanders in the third quarter. Cleveland now 2.5. Walk me through this one.
All right. So believe it or not, last year the Browns were 3-0 in the preseason. You look at their quarterback situation, and it's a circus and a clown show. Yep. But it can be a good situation for the preseason, especially here with Deshaun Watson, Shador Sanders, Dylan Gabriel. And you know what? You get into, I don't know if he's going to play this week, but you get into future games. Taylen Green is a really good dual threat quarterback who's a fourth QB and can make plays. The Bears, there are two aspects of this handicap, Paul, and I know you've talked about it. The Bears' injury situation is a real problem. The injuries are piling up, but it goes beyond Kobe Bryant, the safety, who's out for the regular season, Luther Burden, wide receiver, who's going to be out for a while. They've got a bunch of injuries piling up. And last year, I talked about the new coach angle. Ben Johnson of the Bears was 2-0-1 in the preseason. He cared about winning in August last year. I don't think he cares about winning this game or this preseason. He's got to get this team healthy and ready for week one. Behind Caleb Williams, who's not going to play, I don't believe he's going to play here, is Tyson Badgett, Case Keenum, and Miller Moss. I think you're going to see mostly Tyson Badgett and Miller Moss. But again, the problem is the Bears, I don't even think Ben Johnson wants to play this game. And with the Browns, you got to think Deshaun Watson, Shador Sanders, they got a lot to prove here. They're fighting for a job, and Dylan Gabriel when he gets in the game. It's interesting. The steam is on the Browns. You don't hear that too often. But the Browns are now up to 2 at Circa, 2.5 at most places across the board. I was a little late here. I actually laid Browns minus 1, and I think the Browns should be the right side. You got everything you want here. You got a new coach, even though I don't like the coach in Todd Monken. You got a quarterback competition. You actually got a Browns team with some talent. I think the quarterbacks are going to hold this team back ultimately. But in this game, with all the Bears' injury problems, I think it should be Browns all the way. Paul, what number did you lay on this?
I did $1.40 on the money line.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I think the Browns should be a good bet. You're not going to hear me say that very often during the regular season, but I think the Browns should be a good bet this week.
With you, buddy. Thanks a lot, Matt. We'll see you tomorrow.
Okay.
Good job.
You bet, buddy. Thanks.
Yep. This is troubling news also before the segment started. Apparently Cashman and Boone are going to get contract extensions. Old Humans is livid. Just ruined his appetite. Oh, no. He's sick to his stomach.
I told you earlier Boone's not on the hot seat.
Oh,
but let's be
God.
Honest. Like, if you're – let's look at it this way. Like, Hal doesn't – I know he's down in Tampa. But if you look across New York City and look at what David Stearns has done to the New York Mets, doesn't that make Brian Cashman look a lot more appealing based on the fact that the Yankees make the playoffs 74% of the time under Cashman? Think about that. 74% of the time they're in the postseason.
No, but the problem, it's what you said earlier, though. The whole mindset changed with championship or bust. I mean, 2009 is a long time ago. That's unacceptable.
That's gone.
That's a mistake.
That's gone.
$18 for a beer? I better win some titles, okay? Come on, $25 for a slider? What we're betting coming up next.
To determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
Someone gives you 10,000 to 1 on anything. You take it, take it, take it.
I'll bet you 20 bucks I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3-1 odds.
Nope.
5-1.
Nope.
10-1.
You're on.
2-on, 2-out for the Friars in the bottom of the 8th, trailing the Brewers 2-1. And they're underway in Detroit and they're underway in Miami. Everything else is a final or coming up later tonight. Split yesterday in baseball. Rays, again, no problem. Another blowout win, and they won again today. So they went 9-0 on the road trip in Tampa and overcame it in all three games in Sacramento. And shame on Texas. Somehow couldn't. Two frickin' runs against the Angels and that awful pitching staff, and they let go of Maddox, the assistant, and the bullpen coach as well. Come on. Act like a professional outfit and like you want to make the playoffs, Texas. Come on. So a split there. To the pending. Titans money line earlier in the week. This has gone up to 5 now in the game against the 49ers. Tomorrow night, again, you got mayonnaise in the coffee, Levis and Trubisky battling for the backup job. And then the substation, all the injuries with the 49ers. Can they even field the team? Notre Dame more wins than Miami. Giants under 7.5. Dolphins under 4.5. Longest touchdown from scrimmage, 95.5 yards. A quarterback to throw for 500 yards in a game, no, minus 115. To the new plays, Browns money line. It's now 150, 155 with the Watson news. After Monken said it's Watson for a half, which we knew he's going to be the starting quarterback anyways, but for the season. But Watson for a half and then Sanders to start the third quarter against the injury-riddled Bears. And the Bears under 9.5 wins for the season, minus 120. As we outlined earlier, there's so many cluster injuries already. Bryant's out 4 to 6 months. You were plus 22 in the turnover differential. You had 33 takeaways. And on top of all that, you still needed the NFL record with most wins when trailing with the final 2 minutes. So I don't think they can come close to replicating any of this. I love Johnson and Williams, but also it's a brutal division and a tough division as well. So I don't see 10 wins for the Bears, and that's an under for me. And again, we're doing the futures draft next Thursday on this show. We'll be in studio doing that with all the VSiN people as well, and I will try to draft that early in that draft. Good luck, everyone.
All right, as far as my grade, I went 1-2 last night in Major League Baseball. Rays A's. I mean, it's basically like, take the over. They went over again this afternoon out there in Sacramento. So, White Sox. I mean, how bad was Hudson, the reliever? Coming in, didn't record an out, got charged with 3 runs. Yeah. I mean, just terrible night for the Chicago White Sox as they lose that game. De La Cruz, Stevenson, the offensive heroes, they lose that game in extra innings in 10-5-4. Had no business losing it. And I'll be honest with you, Nolan McClain did his job. He threw 6 innings, allowed 1 hit, and Ozzie Albies' home run. Unfortunately, Mets couldn't score against the Atlanta Braves. They lose that game down in Atlanta. So the Braves, a winner over the Mets. That was a loser. White Sox, a loser. Rays and A's over. Did give you a winner at Saratoga earlier. Gum, yes, in the ninth at 2-1, the 5-horse. All right, here are my plays. Lions, NFC North, plus 170. Listen, wide open division. Concerns about the Chicago Bears, no question about it. Kyler Murray in Minnesota. Lions at plus 170 to win the NFC North. The Bills, don't understand why they're favored, but get it. It's Josh Allen, the Buffalo Bills, minus 136 to win the AFC East. I'm going back to Chicago tonight, Paulie. Going back to the Pale Hose at minus $1.42 after that brutal loss last night. But going to take them over the Cincinnati Reds. So give me the White Sox tonight. I'm going to take Will Warren and the New York Yankees, minus $1.46. Excuse me. Minus $1.46 against the Seattle Mariners. Thank you, Paulie. Appreciate that. At home, Warren's been pretty good this year. Seattle, Paulie was talking about earlier in the show, been terrible offensively, been one of the great disappointments. Even with all that, they're amazingly enough still in the wild card race in the American League as one of 9 teams that basically covered by 5.5 games. But give me the Yankees tonight, minus $1.46 against Seattle.
Let Moose cook. Go get it. Sign up for VSiN Pro today. Get both our NFL and college football betting guides packed with team previews, power ratings, proven betting systems, best bets from the experts, every best bet, every host, every guest, the real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, and the 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Start today, just $9.99. Get a full year, save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription at thevsin.com/subscribe now. vsin.com/subscribe now. Excited for tomorrow. 6 preseason games. Dan Leberfield's on the show. Yeah. Jet whispers what the Jets are going to do for the season and also in their first preseason game. Greg Peterson to talk MLB, Lou Finocchiaro, UFC, and the Butcher is back already. The Meat Man, lower league soccer starts this weekend. I can't believe it. So we'll be talking futures with him as well. So today's the anniversary, 1997. The pilot was sent into production for Sopranos, and the rest is history. You worked 7 years, Mike and a Mad Dog, WFAN. Yeah, dog. Great stories being with the show, and also how they used to break it down like the NFC title game off a Monday after a great episode Sunday night. My favorite story was when you told, and, you know, Francesa, my God, I can't imagine with the Diet Coke and the stories. You know, I live around in a neighborhood with a lot of Asian doctors, Doug, and I'm great with a snowblower. I mean, we told that story once where he's awesome with the snowblower. But the story you told last time you were on, that they were running down movies, and what did Dog say with Daredevil?
Oh, yeah, so that was it. So it was like they'd go through, like before the start of the summer, when you knew, like, you know, like Odyssey, you gave it 8.5 out of 10, right? Like when they knew great movies were coming out, before they went away on their, like, vacation, right? And they'd split up during the summer and stagger their vacations. So one of them was always in studio at some point in time, but they used to do the show by themselves. They'd go through movies coming up, right? They always used to love the Academy Awards, and they'd have, you know, movie guys on that covered it to go through the Academy, but they'd go through the movies that were coming out. So Dog wasn't paying attention. Mike was running through the movies because Dog was focused probably on the San Francisco Giants and the box score and this and that. And so Mike was saying, what about Daredevil? And Dog goes, who's in that? He goes, you know, Ben Affleck, he plays a blind superhero. And Dog goes, true story? And he goes, no, he plays a blind superhero. No, it's not a true story. And then I'm sitting there with Chris Carlin. I'm on the board at that time. Okay. Carlin's producing, and Carlin was screening calls. And I go, Chris, I go, I think Dog just asked Mike if the Daredevil movie was a true story. He goes, no, he didn't. And we used to roll on the show, and we go back and we listen to it and we play it back. I go, yeah, he did. And then it became this famous clip that went viral all over the place. So yes, Dog did ask him. I mean, he wasn't paying attention, but yeah, yes, okay. He did ask Mike. Yeah. If Daredevil was a true story.
Sometimes you miss stuff, you know, like happened yesterday. You know, Stormy with the potty mouth. You never know sometimes what can happen.
Oh, I know. I heard that. She felt so bad, too.
Reading the quote from Monken, right? Bleep out. It's happened, right? I can't believe the news today in the NBA. But Westbrook retired. That's not a surprise.
Yes.
For the second time in a year, the Lakers were sold. $12.5 billion. After they went for $10 billion last year. So, did Silver make the call to jump in and say, hey, you know, Walter's under investigation. They confiscated his cell phone. They take what's going on? But this is bananas that now this sets back-to-back records for a pro sports franchise that the Lakers go for $12.5 billion. And it's Iger and Kushner, who are supposed to be involved with one of the expansion teams, which now it makes sense about, hey, why am I going to pay $7 to $10 billion for an expansion team? And then I got to cough up more money. Yeah, for the, why can I? Yeah. So now they walk in, we get one of the top franchises in all of sports and 12.5. And if you're one of the five brothers or sisters of Jeannie Buss, you got to be like, what happened here? Jeannie, you caught us. You cost us $2.5 billion.
Now, here's the interesting thing. Now, they're going to make money on it. Like whenever the Lakers are sold, like we think about that number now on this Wednesday, like August 2026, I don't know when they'll be sold again. Maybe it's in 10 years, but they'll make, think about that. They bought it for $12.5 billion. When they sell it, they're going to make a profit on the Los Angeles Lakers. Like, think about that. Like, the number could be $16 billion.
I know.
Could be $17 billion. Like, they're not going to lose money. They're going to make money.
When does it slow down? Yeah. I mean, if the Portland Trailblazers are going for $4 billion, come on. Don't go anywhere. VSiN Prime Time with Femi and Will Hill up next. And at 9 p.m. Eastern, the fourth episode of the Circus Survivor doc. And it's back to more Prime Time, followed by Cashing Out with Dustin at 11 p.m. More with us tomorrow. Again, with the Moose sitting in. Looking forward to it. Hardcore breakdown of the 6 preseason games, all the line movement, quarterback depth charts, lower league soccer, UFC, football plays, baseball, a lot of day games as well. We'll talk to you tomorrow and keep it here with Femi and Will Hill.